People I Almost Know, episode 35.
I'm always thinking, oh, gosh, how did I change someone's life or their day, or, you know, were they having a bad day that went to a great day just because of something that you said or that you did?
You think you know people, but there's always something more to learn. I don't even know myself that well. And if you ask, people will tell you their stories, and sometimes the stories they tell are as much about us as they are about them. I'm Michelle, and this is People I Almost Know. Hi, everyone, and welcome to the podcast. Our guest today is Stephanie Jones. Stephanie's had a lot of interesting jobs over the years, but what we're going to talk about today is something that's been with her entire life, and that's her passion for giving. Stephanie is pretty wonderful, and though I don't think I'll ever be as consistently giving as she is, she's definitely inspired me to see opportunities for giving that I would have overlooked before, and that's an awesome thing. Here's Stephanie.
Hello, my name is Stephanie Jones, and I'm president CEO of a company called Giving Gal, and our mission really in life is to assist our clients in, you know, how to live a bold life, how to establish and accomplish their big dreams, and, you know, and encourage everybody through everything that they do to bless others. So I always tell people, be bold, dream big, and bless others.
What I wanted to start off with is just to ask you, we're going to start with the bless others part. How did you get started with giving? And I saw that it looks to me like you started with a 29-day giving journey, and then it may have blossomed from there, but I just wanted to get your story.
Yeah, absolutely. So I always say I have kind of two giving journeys. I was raised a giving gal, and, you know, that was just something instilled in me as a child, you know, through growing up. You know, I lived in a home where we did community service. My mom was always taking us to the nursing homes to visit people that were shut in, making meals for people. I can remember at Christmas time, so this time of the year, you know, we would spend a couple of days baking and then taking, you know, cookies and bread. So I feel like, you know, part of my giving started as a very young child, and it was instilled in me, and it continued on through life. And then back in 2010, in December, I read a book called 29 Gifts. And really a book that I think from there changed my life. And it was about a lady who was challenged to, you know, focus on others for 29 days of giving a daily gift. And to be honest, I didn't understand the 29 days. You know, I was like, well, there's no 29 days in a month unless it's, you know, leap year. And so I challenged myself to do a year of giving, to start January 1st, 2011 and give a gift every day. And then that journey changed my life, really.
Well, let me ask you this. When you say give a gift, this is not just about be nice to somebody or, you know, like some people have a year of gratitude or a year of just being nice or a year of kindness. This is actually a gift. And so what do you classify as a gift?
Yeah, so it really could be anything. I think it has to be intentional. And kindness, you know, I saw that come out a lot through my gift-giving journey, but more kindness to strangers. You know, I started noticing things around me all the time that I hadn't noticed because I wasn't looking. And it could be small things as holding the door open for people. You know, this morning I saw a young mother, she had a stroller and she's like struggling through the doorway and getting up out of my seat and going to help her with the door. You know, so those could be a gift because I as I went through this journey, I started to look around and notice a lot of people don't notice those things.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't do those small things for others. But it's also, you know, sending a text to someone that you haven't heard from in a while or you haven't talked to, you know, I hope you're having a great day, was just thinking about you. You know, it could be taking a friend out to dinner or, you know, picking up the check for a friend. It's, you know, making a donation to the local food pantry, or, you know, I made treat bags for our local Boy Scouts one day, you know, donating airline miles. I really started to get creative and started finding all these different gifts that I never thought about. And so every day was very different, and some days were really, really small. And other days, you know, maybe be a little bit larger.
You know, the first one that I had read, where I went back to the very beginning, what I think is the beginning of your blog in 2011, and the very first one was, I did my husband's laundry. And part of me thought, well, you know, I don't know. That's something you had to do anyway, probably. And then as you're sitting here talking, I'm thinking, wait a minute. The beauty of that is that you did it and you said, this is a kindness that I'm doing. I'm giving it to you. It's not something that I expect something back from you. It's not a chore that I'm doing for you. It's not a burden that I have that's in this marriage. This is a gift. How has that like reached further into your life where things have started to look different in that way?
Oh, absolutely. And you bring up a good point with that, because at first, you know, gift, it was, I think everybody has to define gift in their own terms, or, you know, I can't define that for you, but, yeah, doing my husband's laundry, it's actually something he does on his own.
Oh, really?
So for me, it was a gift because, you know, I did that for him. I usually don't like to do his laundry. And so I found myself doing a lot of things that I normally wouldn't do with nothing in return, but how it started changing, you know, I saw my marriage go stronger because now I wasn't kind of like grumbling and nagging about things and, oh, will you do this or will you do that? It was just, okay, I'm just going to do this today. But then I saw that affect my husband too, and he started doing things for me, or,
really?
Or he would come home and tell me something that he did for a stranger.
Aww.
And I saw it in friendships, you know, of friendships growing stronger because I was, you know, not really thinking about, you know, used to I'd have gift cards and I'd be stingy with a gift card, you know, but then it might be, I might give it to somebody away or, you know, like I said, pay for a meal or be in a store and go, well, hey, I'll just buy that for you. So friendships. And then with strangers, I've met, you know, with these types of gifts, simple things of just striking up a conversation with someone, I've met some incredible people that I never would have met if I didn't kind of go outside of my own little world in, mm-hmm. in my box to, you know, just strike up a conversation or lend a hand to somebody that I saw needed it. But sometimes it can be really embarrassing to kind of ask somebody,
yeah.
do you need help or how can I help you?
Well, so what is the 500 days of giving? Is this, it looks, and I can see on your Facebook that when you have some posts, you say, well, my gift today was, so is this just where you've just kept going?
Yeah, so I hit the year, and it was really interesting because I thought the year would be a struggle, and I had some days that were, but it was like I hit the year, and I couldn't stop. You know, I said at the beginning, it really changed my life and just became a part of who I was, and so it's like, okay, I don't want to stop at a year. I want to continue to do this. It benefited me in so many different ways that I didn't expect it, and I wasn't doing to get a benefit. I was doing it to benefit others, and yeah, so I went beyond, I think it was like 522 days, and you know, so that's where the 500 days of giving came, because it went beyond that year and missed a day, but then really picked up after that. And I don't document many of my days, you know, from after, you know, when I dropped off in 2012, but I still on my Facebook, on my One Making a Difference Facebook page, you know, I like to go in there and post some things that may have happened just to give other people ideas of
yeah.
how they can give back, and that it's really simple. You know, it doesn't have to be difficult, take a lot of time or money.
Well, have you had any negative experiences? Any people who are like, yeah, who are you, lady, and stay away from me, or anything like that?
You know, not really negative of kind of a stay away. I did have a homeless gentleman once. I saw a homeless gentleman in a park. I was on my way to church, and I thought, you know what? I'm going to stop and pick him up breakfast. And so swung by McDonald's, got this big breakfast, you know, coffee, bottle of water, pulled into the park and went to give it to him. And he was like, I don't really need that. I don't want that. I'll take the coffee and I'll take the water, but I've got a full belly, you know?
Oh.
And so that was kind of an interesting and a humbling experience for me also, because it was somebody that I thought needed a gift.
Yeah.
And didn't. But then I also realized through the journey of, it's not necessarily the gift that's important. It's the offering of
okay.
a gift. Yeah. And, you know, I kind of felt rejected that day, but then thought, you know what? I had no way of telling. You know, my feelings should not be hurt that he rejected that gift? But what if he did need it and I didn't offer it?
Yeah.
And so for me, I started to think, you know what? I'm going to offer it, and if they don't need it, that's fine. But at least I reached out. So that's kind of the only one experience I had. And I've had a couple other people kind of reject the gift, but I got to say, you know what, that's fine. I also had somebody on Facebook call me out for posting stuff, you know, and just said, you know, you're really not supposed to post and brag about what you do. And you know, I don't think you should be doing that. And I was a little hurt by that, and actually took some really thoughtful time to step back and think about it. But, you know, my response to her was, I had so many people through my giving journey and through my blog say, you know what, I wasn't raised a giver. You know, I don't know where to start. You know, I've always wanted to help people, or, you know, I would love to volunteer, but I don't know where to volunteer. And so I always say, you know, I don't post, you know, I post maybe 20% of things that I do. I don't post everything and use it as a brag, but I really use it as a way for people to learn and to people to think about, you know, their life in a different way, for them to think about other people's life in a different way. And I love when people share with me, you know, I love to see something positive out there. I learn from others. I'm constantly getting ideas. You know, I have a friend that's doing a 12 Days of Kindness for the month of December. And when she posts something, I'm like, oh, what a great idea, and I'm writing it down so I can maybe, you know, go do that act of kindness or give that gift. So, you know, I've really, that's kind of really the only negative thing I've had come out, but.
Well, yeah, and I agree. I think that for me, when I see things like that, if you posted every single last little thing, I'd be like, come on, you know, you're making me feel bad now, or you're just bragging. But if you're, you know, if that's what your mission is too, and that you're there to encourage other people, then that's how I take it. It encourages me to do more things.
Right. Absolutely. And I wanted to get it across because I've, you know, feel like a lot of times people think it's hard to give. You know, we always think a lot, usually in the terms of two things, our time. So I've got to get a lot of time. I've got to find an organization. I've got to go volunteer. And some people don't have a lot of time, or, you know, it's a lot of money. And we kind of just look at those two things and not really outside of those two things. And so I wanted to give a lot of ideas that don't take a lot of time or money to basically make an impact in the community of where you live.
Well, and that's one of the things I like you had said, I think on your One Making a Difference website, you said, I want to stop being focused on self and strive to make serving others' needs a priority. And so that was one of my questions, is how does somebody like me, you know, who is not used to giving, how do we start making a transition from self-focus to focus on others? Like, what would you suggest in, like, the first week if I'm going to make baby steps?
Yeah, great question. So I think it's being, you know, number one is slow down. When you're out and about, no matter where you're at, if you're in the grocery store, if you're going out to dinner, if I travel a lot, you know, so if I'm in an airport, is I think a lot of times we're always so busy and we're always in a rush, is number one, slow down and start looking around. You know, if you, I always use Walmart as an example. I'm like, if I stop at Walmart, I'm constantly seeing people who maybe need help just, you know, walking and getting to the front door, or, you know, people with a couple of kids and they're trying to, you know, get out the door or need help getting their groceries loaded in. You know, somebody in front of you that maybe could use a few extra dollars to, you know, finish help paying their grocery bill, or, you know, you start talking to your waitress or waiter at dinner and learning their story and thinking, wow, you know, it's really cool. They're trying to get themselves through college, or, you know, trying to make ends meet at Christmas time. You know, maybe I'm going to leave an extra tip. So I think it's really first is just slowing down, but then looking around and seeing. And that's where kind of the third thing is, and then helping somebody. And, you know, that's very difficult. I know at the airport, that's probably one of the most difficult places for me to stop and ask somebody, you know, can I help you, or how can I help you? Because it's, you know, talking to strangers isn't easy, but the more I do it, the kind of the easier it becomes some days.
The other thing that's going through my head as you talk is the fact that we don't always know what is a gift to somebody else. So I remember when I worked at a toy store, and a mom's, her kid was, she had a basket full of stuff, and her kid was having a fit, and she said, "That's it. I'm leaving this basket here. We're leaving the store." And she came back in maybe the next day or something, and she was very embarrassed. She needed to buy those things because they were gifts for people. And I told her, I said, "You know, you did the right thing, in my opinion. You have to be firm with the children and let them know you can't just, you know, let them have a big fit and then still get what they want and everything." And she said, "You know, that means so much to me because I was embarrassed to leave that stuff in the middle of the floor in this basket and not purchase it. I was embarrassed that my child was having a fit, and you made me feel like I'm not a terrible mother and that I did the right thing." And that was a gift to her that I was just, I didn't know that it would be that important to her, kind of deal.
Absolutely. And that's a great example. It costs you nothing.
Yeah.
But you were validating what, you know, kind of what you were feeling. And to her, that's the other thing. You bring up something that, you know, we never know, or sometimes we may never know the impact of our gifts. And so how your conversation with that mother, you know, may have changed the rest of her day, you know, and so
yeah.
We never know, you know, it's great when we do find out, but I'm always thinking, you know, gosh, how did I change someone's life or their day, or, you know, were they having a bad day that went to a great day just because of something that you said or that you did? So now I've kind of gotten to the point, if I get that little tug on my heart that I think I need to talk to someone, or to help someone out, it's really hard to ignore it, because then it's like, oh, wow, I think I've been, you know, put right here to say or to do something. And if I don't, you know, where might their day go or not go, I guess. So that's a perfect example of a simple gift that you gave that day.
Well, and this is how I had learned about you, is you'd posted a piece you had written about the half-eaten pizza.
Uh-huh.
But I wanted to bring that up, that even after you've been doing this for a long time, that you still had to get some encouragement to offer something that you weren't sure if they even wanted it or needed it. And I'm wondering what makes it hard, the other things that make it hard for us to give. Is it just rejection, or is that we're, you know, don't want to offend somebody? Because this was a case where you could tell those boys liked that pizza, but you're like, "But I just ate some of it. This seems weird to give them, hey, you want my pizza? I didn't eat all of it."
Absolutely. So I'll tell the story a little bit just so the listeners know what we're talking about if they never go back and eat it. And then I'll answer your question if that's okay.
Yeah, perfect.
Yeah, so my husband and I were in Niagara Falls, and we had stopped at a local brewery, and I had ordered a pizza, but had eaten some nachos before that, and the pizza was a little bit larger than I thought it would be, and I had only eaten two pieces, and a couple of young adults came, and they were sitting next to us, and looked, I think I described in my blog as, you know, vagabonds, just a little scruffy, you know, kind of had backpacks, and I noticed they kept staring at my pizza, but also continuing to look without ordering. And so my husband and I have this conversation. I kind of lean over, and it's like, I really want to offer them my pizza. You know, we're staying at a bed and breakfast. I don't have a refrigerator. But I was really embarrassed. And my husband kind of challenges me and puts it back of, you know, this is what you challenge other people to do. Why wouldn't you do it? And so we had this great conversation, and it was like, yeah, I needed him to hold me accountable. And I think to you know, answer your question kind of in the middle of the story is, you know, I think I said in the blog is I didn't want to feel dumb. You know, it was embarrassing. It was a self-confidence thing of sometimes, you know, speaking with strangers, it's awkward. And then, you know, here, hey, do you want my half-eaten pizza? But, you know, like his reply was, he was thinking I was kind of being hypocritical here. And so it was like, okay, yeah, right. He was holding me accountable, which I think is a great thing in life, whether it's in a giving journey that you're doing or working on goals. But I said I was saved by our sweet, righteous Victoria, who came over and asked if I wanted a box for the pizza. And, you know, just kind of leaned over and said, no, but, you know, I'd like to give it to this table. And she had this great personality and piped up and immediately, you know, went to that table and said, hey, this nice lady would love to, you know, give her a pizza. She's staying out of bed and breakfast, and goes through the whole thing. And their eyes just lit up. I was like, yeah, we'll take it. And so she picked up that pizza and handed it over to them, and they started eating it. And, you know, and part of that story was I had a friend's daughter that was killed. She was texting and driving, totally her fault, wasn't wearing her seatbelt. And so that was an opportunity for me, too, to tell the story of Emily and texting and driving. And her family gave out these little business cards to, you know, anytime you pay it forward and do something nice, hand out one of these little cards and share Emily's story, and hopefully they pass her story on. But, you know, hopefully they don't text and drive either. So, you know, it was a great thing that turned out. But, yes, I still had that self-doubt that I don't want to be awkward. And I was sitting next to them. So what if they did say no? And they're like, well, who's this weird lady next to me offering her half-eaten pizza? So,
well, and I think for me, that's one of the things is that I feel prompted to do plenty of things and say plenty of things. And for me, that feels like the Holy Spirit or God saying, Michelle, this is what I want you to do right now. And I don't do it out of that fear of being rejected. And so that was a really good story for me to read, to say, you know, you just have to push yourself. And it's so nice that you had your husband there to say, you know, follow your instinct and do, you know, do what you are meant to do.
Absolutely. And I think, too, that I've learned, and my husband constantly reminds me of this, is, you know, the worst thing that's going to happen is they're going to say no.
Yeah.
You're probably never going to see them again. So, a big deal. You know, we sit here, we finish our meal, and we leave, and, you know, who cares? That's not how it happened, but you know, it's really putting, I think sometimes we build things up so big in our head that prevents us from doing a lot of things in life, you know, kind of that fear, where a lot of times if you're like, okay, what's the biggest thing that's going to happen here?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, not really big.
Yeah, that's true. That's so true. Just say, what's the worst case scenario? They're not going to break my arm.
Right. Exactly. They're just not going to eat my pizza. Okay.
One of the things I wanted to bring up and the things you had said is when you said, I remind myself doing something is better than doing nothing. You know, there's lots of stuff I pulled right off your, you know, your website that was like, that's so profound, you know. And it's true. If we can just, everybody starts with a little something. Let somebody go in front of you in line. That's a gift to that person who might be in a hurry, you know. And so hopefully people will get inspired to start giving more.
And that's my whole goal. You know, I always say, you know, people always say, you know, what's kind of your big dream or your big goal or your mission of this? You know, I said, I always imagine, can you imagine living in a world where people did that all the time? You know, can you imagine if you walk down the street and everybody smiled at you?
Yeah.
Or, you know, everybody held doors open, or everybody, you know, just constantly, you know, if you stop and look at all these things around and going, wow, if we all just did these little things that cost you no time or money, how would our world change? Because I've seen from doing those little things, you know, it's a ripple effect within your relationship. So I always say in marriages, you know, what if you, I know with my husband, you know, I've stopped focusing on, oh, crap, you constantly leave that towel hanging there. You know what, I'm just going to take that towel and put it in the hamper. And, you know, so you think about that in marriages or with your children or whatever it is in life is, you know, how did all this stuff start to change? So that's kind of my big thing. And my aha moment once, I was speaking at a very small, tiny rural church. And as I looked out in the audience, there was a lot of, like, I always say, you know, rough farmers, you know, just like farmer men who didn't smile the entire time I was talking, you know, and you're like, oh my gosh, you know, you look at a lot of people and you're like, okay, this is getting through. But then you have those couple that you're like, oh man, you know, it's just not even sinking in. They don't care. But I was standing at the back with the pastor at the end of church. And I had like three of these farmer guys who I felt like, you know, could care less, so I'd say, gave me hugs at the end. And they were just like, thank you so much. I needed to hear that. You know, I could do this for my wife, or I could do, or you gave me something to think about today. You know, and it was like, wow, you know, like, what impact did that have in their life? They totally was judging them just based on, you know, the look. So it's those wow. types of things that I think are like, okay, cool. That's why I'm doing this.
So you have done a lot of things. You've been a police officer, a private investigator, and it looks like you still own a professional organizing company, professional yes. organizer, and you're now a life coach too. So tell me about your Giving Gal. Is your life coach business? Do I have that right?
Yes, it's my life coach and motivational speaking. And
okay.
So it kind of evolved from the professional organizing. You
oh,
know,
really?
I have a professional organizing company, Innovative Organizing. And what I found is, you know, a lot of people need their physical stuff organized, but when you go in and help someone physically organize their house, it's a pretty intimate process. You know, you really learn about them. And usually if we're holding on to stuff, a lot of disorganization in our life isn't caused by the stuff. It's by other stuff that's going on. And so I had clients that turned into really these coaching clients. You know, we weren't physically organizing their stuff. So it was like, oh, wow, you know, maybe this is something else that I should be doing it. And the physical organizing is quite demanding, and it's very time consuming. And you know, where the coaching, I can coach anybody from anywhere in the world,
yeah.
and I can do it over the phone. You know, we don't have to meet in person, even though that's fun to do. So yeah, really, really that evolved. And then my speaking, you know, through my giving journey, you know, I've done speaking for probably 14 years, just
wow.
in various jobs that I've had, but really saying, you know what, I want to seek out opportunities. I want to be available to go into churches or for women's retreats or to speak in high schools. And you know, I've got a couple of things that I share on, but my giving journey kind of really motivated me to, you know, say, hey, I want to do this, you know, be a little bit more serious about it and, I guess, intentional about speaking.
Why do you feel like it's important to incorporate the giving, because it's be bold, dream big, bless others. And obviously that's part of how you coach people, as I'm assuming. So why do you feel like that's important to coach about giving, or to incorporate giving into your coaching process or to what you teach people?
Yeah, I think a great question. And, you know, I saw a lot of people as I was doing research for kind of this business name. You know, a lot of people use their own name, you know, Stephanie Jones Coaching. And as I was looking for websites, you know, Stephanie Jones is a very common name. Jones is a very common name. So I kind of stepped back and I thought, who am I? Where do I come from? You know, I was born and raised in southern Indiana and been a giver all my life. And it's really defined me over these last couple of years. And I have this big whiteboard that I constantly just put ideas on, and some stay there forever, and, you know, some end up coming to fruition. And, you know, Giving Gal just kept coming in my head, and I thought, you know, that's what I'm going to call my business, Giving Gal, because I'm Stephanie Jones, but at heart, I'm a giving gal. And that's what I want people to remember about me, whether it's, you know, anything that you do through life coaching. You know, I think if everything you're doing in life is for yourself and all your goals revolve around yourself, you're probably not going to get too far in life. But if you start looking about, you know, things that you want to accomplish, if you're giving back to your community, if you're making a difference, if throughout your journey of what you're trying to accomplish, you're impacting other lives and trying to make other lives, you know, better, you're going to be successful. And, you know, so I think that's how I just kind of came up with the name and incorporated it into my business.
Do people seem to really take to that? And that hey, you know, they agree for me to be the best of me, I also need to be the best of me to other people. You know, I need to encourage other people to be the best of them.
Great question. You know, I think some people get it quicker than others, you know, and that's okay. We're all very different. We're all made very different. You know, there's things that I don't pick up on too quickly, and I've really got to work on. So we all have kind of our weaknesses. Yeah, but I think throughout the process, and, you know, I always tell people, don't hire me to tell you what you want to hear. You know, hire me to challenge you, to really think about, you know, I'll ask those challenging questions to think about why you're doing something and your motivation behind it and maybe what you should be doing or kind of the path that you should be leading. But I think for the most part, and I've seen, you know, a lot of clients will come for me for one thing, but as we start to get in this conversation, it really starts to open up into various aspects of their life too. Wow, you know, I could really be treating my spouse better, or I could really be getting involved more in my kids' life. How do I do that? And you start having different conversations of, you know, maybe not just their career, but opening up into other aspects of their life that could really be improving.
Where do you want this to take you? I mean, do you see yourself being a public speaker, you know, for the rest, or is there more that you want to do, or how are you feeling about the future?
Yeah, well, I'm feeling very hopeful about the future. You know, I have to say throughout my journey, I know you mentioned earlier about being a police officer and private investigator, you know, I've always just seen doors open in my life, you know, and I always feel like each day I just keep moving forward and, you know, going through doors that open for me. You know, two of my big goals, yes, I love speaking because I love meeting people and I love to be able to tell the story. I love to be able to, you know, after I get done speaking, sit down with one-on-one with people and talk to them about their lives and answer questions. You know, that's something that I have a passion for. But I'm also working on a book, so I hope to get that published. I, you know, did really good at blogging the beginning. You know, I think in 2011, you'll see I almost blogged every day for about the first, I don't know, you know, 86 days, and then I started to trail off. So I had a lot of stories that I didn't write or didn't share, and then, you know, as it went into the 500 days, so I stepped back. I spent a lot of time this year just going back through, you know, things that I've done that, gosh, I wanted to tell that story, so I've put it in a book. And my goal for this year is to, you know, get that book published out there of just, you know, how simple it is to give and how, you know, this incorporating in your life, you know, doesn't change other people's lives, but, you know, also changes yours.
Yeah, that's awesome. I would read that book.
Well, thank you. I'll let you know when it comes out.
I need a signed copy, please.
Absolutely. I make sure that happens.
So tell everybody where we can find you on the internet.
Oh, gosh, yes. So I've got a lot of places that you can find me. You know, givinggal.com is my website. My giving blog, which, you know, I post a story every once in a while there, is onemakingadifference.blogspot.com. On Facebook, you know, Facebook/givinggal, Facebook/, you know, the number one making a difference. I'm on Twitter, you know, giving_gal. So I'm out there everywhere. And, you know, you can always email me at stephanie@givinggal.com and I can point you in the right direction also.
Okay. And I'll link everything. And I really appreciate you taking the time to talk to us today about giving and what we can do to help each other, but also for ourselves, like you said, you know. It really is a growth experience, I think.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for your time. This has been fun, and I'm thankful for the opportunity, and it's great chatting with you.
My thanks again to Stephanie for gifting us with your time today. And if you'd like to visit her, you can go to onemakingadifference.blogspot.com or givinggal.com and say hi to Stephanie. Thanks so much for listening. I'm Michelle, and this has been People I Almost Know. If there's something you'd like to talk about or someone you'd like me to talk to, you can drop me a line on the website or give me a shout on Twitter or on Facebook. And if you'd like to meet other People I Almost Know, subscribe on iTunes or on the Stitcher app or visit peopleialmostknow.com.